Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid his hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then Jesus sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The miracle in today's Gospel is unique. So far as it's a progressive miracle, it happens in stages. The one who had made our eyes at the beginning of time could have easily healed in one fell swoop. Why did he go in stages? We could look subjectively from the perspective of the blind man, that it would be an added journey by faith. Blind men were constantly being led. They were being led by friends. They were being led by people who would play them as the fool, led down dark alleys, led down other places. They were totally dependent on someone's leading them truthfully. And Jesus himself, who would be our soul master, took the blind man apart so that in that journey with Jesus, with all the history of the ways he had been led in the past, he would have to make an act of faith, which he was doing. And then the first stage of the miracle, and we just had last Friday, the miracle of the deaf mute. And you know, it's one of the compositions of time and place as we meditate that are a little difficult, where you start to see the Lord with saliva touching the man's ears or putting that saliva in the man's mouth. For us in this germophobic time, it's not an easy thing to think about. And then Jesus starts spitting in this man's eyeballs. For us, what would it would be worth to be able to come into contact with the Lord's sacred humanity? What would it be worth to have a miracle? And yet Jesus does it in this gross, quasi-sacramental way, which Jesus' humanity would be the sign of his having received the Lord's medicine. That too required a great act of faith. He saw things only halfway. There was both great progress there. He could now see some light. But there was likewise probably some disappointment that he couldn't see everything clearly and distinctly. He needed to make another act of faith. Subjectively, what the Lord was doing was helping this man grow in faith. At an objective level, the Lord worked this miracle in stages and allowed all of us to know about it through St. Peter and St. Mark, his secretary, precisely so that we could see the way the Lord often works miracles, that it is gradual, that it's often not instantaneous. We want things done yesterday, but the Lord asks us continuously to trust in miracles. This is a great story among the true ones of Sister Breege McKenna, whom some of you may know, But there was a story of a young child who was dying, and they had called up Sister Breach to pray with the family over the phone, and she did. And the child's condition continued to grow worse. But the child hadn't died. And if the family thought that it couldn't get worse, it continued to be aggravated. And Sister Breach was praying with the family repeatedly throughout this time period. It hit more or less rock bottom about a year and a half after they had begun to pray together. And then slowly it came up, such that 2.5 years after the first contact, the child was completely and miraculously cured. Sister Breach was talking to the family about the progressive healing of the blind man in today's gospel. She asked, "Why do you think the Lord waited? Why do you think that he didn't heal immediately?" And the mom of the family said back to her, "Because, sister, if he had worked that miracle immediately, our family wouldn't have become the same type of family of prayer, wouldn't have become the same family of faith. For our praying insistently over the course of these last few years, the Lord has worked an even greater miracle than in my child." The Lord does often go progressively so that the greater gift he wishes to give us through something physical or through some other type of this worldly sign, so that that can help us at a much deeper level. Are we patient enough with the Lord to grow in faith as he waits? Jesus promised that whatever we ask the Father in his name, the Father will give. He's also assured us that sometimes God wants to give us something greater than what we actually ask for. He won't give us a stone when we ask for a loaf of bread, but if we ask for a stone, if we ask for a serpent, if we ask for a loaded gun, if we ask for something that's the spiritual equivalent of potassium cyanide, the Lord, out of love, won't give it to us. But he'll always give himself in response. And are we patient enough? Today's first reading talks about that patience, especially when we're going through trials. 40 days and 40 nights seemed like it would never end. We're getting plenty of stories from California during these days about the dam that's about to break north of San Francisco after the atmospheric river of rain, 11 years in the making. We're going to have a lot of these stories where it just poured down like a river for days upon days. There was an atmospheric river at the time of Moses that covered the entire planet. 40 days and 40 nights of incessant rain. And then it stops. What it would have been like to see the sun for that first time. But when's life going to get back to normal? When's God going to hit that reset button? Sends out the raven. Nothing. Sends out the dove. The dove's flying all the way around. Nothing. Sends out the dove again. Finally, a little leaf, which shows that something had come above the water level. Waited another 7 days and the dove didn't come back. And it wasn't like he was a young man. He was 601 going on 601 and a half. Mm-hmm. How long did he have to wait? And yet the Lord was helping him in this renewal of his covenant, teach us all how to grow in patience. There are going to be times when we are in the midst of a storm in which we're going to be asking the Lord to rescue us. And the Lord's going to take us on a journey of faith, like he took this blind man, like he took Noah, and all with him. At the beginning of today's gospel, we had the Alleluia, in which, with the words of St. Paul to the Ephesians, we see an immediate spiritual application of these truths. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. We're asking for a similar miracle. St. Mark's Gospel, when he gives us the miracles of Jesus curing blind people, he always does it as a prelude. Tomorrow's Gospel, which I'm sure, because you live on every word that comes from the mouth of God, you've already sort of taken a glance at, is, who do you say that I am? Jesus asking his closest followers about his identity. And today we've got this healing in a gradual way of this blind man, because their vision, the eyes of their hearts, were just gradually being opened to the reality of who Jesus was. And even tomorrow, when Peter sees clearly enough to say, "You're the Messiah, the Son of God," he still doesn't see at all how the Lord's going to enter into his kingdom. And when the Lord announces that he's going to sit on a cross for a throne and reign bathed in blood, Peter would think like men rather than see like God. There was a gradual purification of his sight so that he might see these mysteries. Later on in the Gospel of St. Mark, he'll show Jesus curing the two blind men on the way to Jericho, right as Jesus is about to ascend that 20-mile hike to save us on Golgotha, in order to show us that what the Lord was doing physically for these blind men, he wishes to do for us spiritually, so that we can see what the real meaning is, and rather than seeing men look like trees, see that man on that tree, giving us all the power necessary in order to see for real. Gradual sight. And the Lord gives us his sacred spit and his blood and his body and his soul and his divinity, so that our eyes might truly be opened. But a lot of the times, just as the Lord worked through saliva, he works through others. And today we celebrate the feast of Saint Claude Le Colombier, the great spiritual director of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, who died at the tender age of 41 in 1682. Saint Claude is, in my opinion, the patron of all spiritual directors, because he was the one sought so much by Saint Margaret Mary, and the one to whom the Lord had given the gift of counsel in order to be able to help her to see what his heart meant, so that the whole world would be able to behold that great love. St. Margaret Mary suffered so much from people who didn't know what they were doing, and they thought that she was being infested by diabolical visions, or they thought that she was insane. She turned to the Lord, and the Lord promised that he would send someone. Then all of a sudden, she met St. Claude in the confessional, and he began to open up her experiences, and she was afraid. She totally clammed up at first, because even though she wanted the Lord's guidance, when he first was loving her in that way to give her that guidance, she didn't find herself worthy of it, and so she retracted a little bit. But the next time she came and he tenderly opened her up, encouraged her to trust, and then it all came out. And even though he was there with her in Paray-le-Monial as the young superior of the Jesuit community there, for a short time, he was able to do so much good in her and in her for the church through his just being an instrument of the Holy Spirit's gift of counsel in her case. Spiritual directors help people to see clearly. They help them gradually to have the Lord open the eyes of their hearts so that they might be able to see things as they really are, to see the real world, the world where God reigns, God in those individual circumstances. And there are two applications for us. First, in terms of our docility toward our own spiritual directors, that we allow them to take us by the hand outside from the hustle and the bustle and step by step to guide us toward clairvoyance. And then second, just by our vocations in the church, we are going to be spiritual directors for so many others. The Lord wants to use us to be able to help others to see. Sisters, that's what so much your work is when you're dealing with women who are being blinded by their fear, tempted by the evil one, to give them that type of counsel so that they're able to see not just a threat growing within, but someone much loved by God, made in his image and likeness, to be able to look at him with love. So often you're going to help people to see the Lord in his mercy after they've made a choice that they regret. You're going to help other younger sisters to see things that they presently don't, gradually, step by step. But the Lord continues not only to guide us through others to see things clearly, but he wants to use us as a similar instrument. He wants to smudge us on people's eyes, allow us to get into the nitty-gritty of their life. And what an unbelievable gift it is for us to receive and then to receive while giving. Today, the Lord wishes to enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we might know the full hope that belongs to our call. He wants to lead us apart from the crowds, directly and instrumentally through our spiritual directors. And he wants us, in learning these lessons, to become knowledgeable guides to lead others outside with Christ as well. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, let us ask the Lord through the intercession of St. Claude to help us to behold this Lamb of God who gives us all of these gifts and to respond in gratitude by lifting up the chalice of salvation and calling on the Lord's saving name. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.